In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To talk all things Cleveland Browns here, we head out to the fan hotline like we do every single Monday here at 5 p.m. and talk to Browns analyst Nathan Segura. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Good afternoon.
Nathan, let me ask you, where are you with this game? Are you more excited by some of those bright performances we got from Shador, from Fannin, from some other dudes, or dejected by the latest loss?
It's a little bit of both, but I'm going to skew positive. I mean, this whole season to me was about trying to figure out if we could find a solution at the quarterback position. And Shador Sanders was a guy that I liked a great deal coming out of college. And I thought, you know, when we were at the combine, I thought he was going to be, you know, the number two pick or go in the top five in the NFL draft. And we all know that he had his draft day fall. But the things that you saw on tape, the ball placement, the ability and willingness to stand in the pocket and deliver throws with defenders bearing down on you, the ability to make plays in and out of structure. And like I said, that ball placement that not only allows him to make very tight window throws, but also promotes yards after the catch. You were talking about, you know, Harold Fannin, and we saw the ball to Jerry Jeudy. I mean, that was what you wanted to see. And I think the thing that I'm the most excited about with Shador Sanders is you're seeing every week him take something from the previous week's game, decide that that's the point of emphasis, that's what I'm working on, and then apply it. And in this game, you know, they wanted him to rip the ball to the middle of the field with a little more anticipation, a little more confidence, a little more on time and in rhythm. And he did that from a clean pocket, which is one of the ways I really think you can measure quarterbacks. Great to be able to make plays out of structure, but when everything's good, you've got to be really good. He averaged nearly 12 yards an attempt, had a rating of 150. Now, he was pressured 63% of the time. That was one of the highest pressure rates all season for any quarterback that he faced, and handled that, I thought, very well. And not only that, he was hit 14 times. We go back to that Pittsburgh game. Dylan Gabriel was hit 17 times in that one. That was the most a quarterback had been hit in the NFL. He got hit 14 times in this game and continued to make plays from the pocket. I was very impressed with Shador Sanders, and I think we should all be very encouraged by what we saw there. And now you're going to have three games against teams that are fighting for their playoff lives in Chicago, in Buffalo, and in Pittsburgh. And if he can continue this improvement that we've seen, you know, it was a historic game in terms of the overall output. You know, the only other rookie that's ever done that was Joe Burrow. He's the first rookie since 2000, since Aaron Rodgers, to have four or more plays of 50-plus yards in his first three starts. He is doing – this is legit, and I'm excited. I know we needed time to develop, and he got that, and he's put in the work. Kevin Stefanski's putting a lot of extra work with him as well, and it's paying off. That was – to me, that's the takeaway from this game. Yeah, of course, the Browns lost it, and nobody's happy about that, and there are a myriad of reasons why they did, and some are all too familiar. But this is, to me, this was Shador Sanders, 10 of 13 on the two drives at the end of the game. Like, that's all you want, the ability to tuck it and run, quick decisions, accurate. I'm very happy about that and what we saw from Shador Sanders, because to me, that's the biggest thing facing this organization is trying to find that quarterback. And if Shador Sanders can get you to a point by the end of the year, we know he's starting the rest of the way. He certainly has earned that. But if he can get you to a point by the end of the year where you say, look, we got these two ones, let's get a wide receiver and an offensive tackle, let's get this kid a supporting cast, like, I'd be really excited about that as a Browns fan.
Yeah, Nathan, for me, it's the amount that he overcame in that game. Not only the bad weather, you had a million offensive line injuries. Three different pass catchers ended up getting injured in that game. You mentioned the pressure rate. That was the highest any quarterback has faced this year. Like I don't know that people quite understand the full context of that, to then put up almost 400 yards of production. It's insane. I want to ask you, though, we got a lot of response back to some of this, and the same response keeps coming up. It's like, oh, but it's just this bad Titans team. What would you say to somebody that has that response?
Look at what Sam Darnold did against them. Look at how they played teams in the last, month of the season. And even, the Jags beat them pretty good, but it wasn't Trevor Lawrence's best game. This wasn't a terrible defense by any stretch of the imagination. It's one that can heat up cornerbacks. That's where they were top half of the league. But this wasn't a bottom, of the league defense. This was not necessarily an easy matchup there. And like I said, they're professionals too. And that's the margin of error in the NFL. Now, I want to see it go. Now, from DVOA standpoint, they're a tougher defense than some of the defenses he's going to face down the stretch. So let's see it. I want to see him continue. These guys are all in the NFL. This isn't like you're going and playing in college where you get to play somebody out of conference. It's a cupcake. There's no such thing. Should the Browns have won the game? Of course they should have. Jeffrey Simmons is one of the best defensive players on the planet. And you certainly saw that on full display in this game. And I thought, again, Shador handled it. He took a beating. The throw to Fannin, where he's staring down the barrel, he knows he's going to get hit. The subtlety, one of the things they told him, use your eyes in the middle of the field on the play to Judy to just get the middle of the safety to bite. Then he's actually throwing the deep over to Cedric Tillman and then throws that kind of glance slant right behind him to Judy. I mean, that's sophisticated stuff. And he had a lot to learn about the mechanics of being an NFL quarterback. And I think that's why people were not as pleased with how long it took to get him on the field, but there were a lot of things he needed to learn just from calling plays in the huddle. Things that he had not done, and he's done a great job, and I give him a lot of credit. He has put in a ton of work but especially since he's been the starter to, make sure that he's improving the things that need to be improved. And I think I don't know how, if you're a Browns fan, that game, the result stinks. Of course it does. And we're all too, unfortunately, familiar with that. But Shador Sanders gives you not just hope, there should be a little bit of belief as well that, okay, maybe we have found our way out of this here. And to do it with a fifth round pick, you start to think about what that could mean for the next 3 years. That could be massive for this franchise.
So with that, Stefanski today says Shador's the starter the rest of the way. What do you need to see in those final four games to have that real conversation this offseason? Do you roll forward with Shador, or do you still look to the draft for that future quarterback?
I mean, if I keep seeing what I saw in this game, I think that answers it. Now, you want him to, the interception was bad. And that's part of, you live with it a little bit, right? You try to do too much, and sometimes it turns into great plays, and sometimes it doesn't. But, you want to clean down maybe some of those, what I would call bad decisions. You want to make sure we don't get into some spots where we kind of have some of these lulls like we've had in a couple of these starts. But for the most part, he's shown the ability to attack you at all levels of the field. He's shown the ability to work inside the numbers and outside near the sidelines. I like what I've seen. We just need to continue to see more and see it consistent. If he goes out there and you play these games competitively against these playoff teams, then hopefully, obviously, you want to win them. But as long as you're playing competitive football with these teams in December and he's looking good, I think you're well on your way to being able to make that answer.
It feels like anytime we have something special with a quarterback, there's always some connection that just happens. For Flacco, it was him and Njoku that just kind of popped up out of nowhere, but the two of them are really in sync. The connection that it feels like Shador has with Harold Fannin right now feels very similar to that connection with Flacco and Njoku. It just feels like they're on the same page and they're matched up very well, Nathan.
Yeah, I like that. And Harold Fannin, he's basically been the Browns' leading receiver the entire season, and that's still the case as his first 100-yard game. Makes a huge catch down the stretch to, give the Browns an opportunity to tie it with that 2-point conversion. He's been a gem, and you look at this class. I was talking about this earlier on Browns Daily today, but, Quinshon Judkins is top 10 in the league in yards after contact per carry. He's top 10 in the league in yards after contact, period. And he's like around 3.3 yards after contact per carry. He's got 700 yards after contact. The guys who are around him at those levels have between 1,000 and 1,350 yards. James Cook on average gets, more than 2 yards down the field for taking contact. Judkins is 0.4 or 0.6, depending on which one you use for the whole team, which is the lowest in the league or second lowest in the league. This rookie class has an opportunity. Schlesinger, we know, is unpacked to be the defensive rookie of the year. Sampson certainly looks like a very good role player. He's got to take care of the football. He knows that. Mason Graham is playing very well, even though it's not necessarily showing up in the stat sheet just yet. and now you've got Shador. This rookie class has the chance to be really transformational. And yeah, I like that chemistry. I like the analogy you used there. But Fannin's been kind of the guy. And listen, you know the confidence this staff has in him. He lines up wide. He lines up in the slot. He lines up as an inline tight end. He lines up on a wing. He lines up in the backfield. He's doing everything. He's taking handoffs this year. They know he is a playmaker, and that was an absolute gem. Somebody that they had targeted to be Cleveland Brown early in the draft process, and I know we're very thrilled they were able to make that happen. And now he's had the most productive season a rookie tight end has had in the history of this organization this past week, going past, you know, what Ozzie Newsome had done in his rookie year.
Nathan, there were some good points defensively across four quarters. Devin Bush's interception, Miles gets another sack here, but it wasn't up to snuff with what we saw most of this season. What caused the defensive performance? Maybe a little step back, big step back yesterday.
I wish it were easy that there was one answer, but obviously, you know, perhaps we missed Malik Collins more than we thought up front in terms of from a run defense perspective. But I think a couple times we just got, you know, kind of out leveraged. They took advantage a little bit of our aggressiveness because, you know, Tony Pollard's a good running back. He had 3 straight 1,000-yard seasons, but he's not necessarily a home run hitter. In fact, he had come into the game with his longest run of the season being 21 yards, and he had 2 carries that were more than that, including, you know, one of 60-plus for a touchdown, another one nearly 40. And that was a career day running the football for him. So that was a shocker, especially considering how well he had done the week before shutting down Christian McCaffrey on the ground. That was tough. So they've got to get that cleaned up, obviously. Especially think about, you know, Chicago's run the ball well with Swift and Menungai. You've got, you know, James Cook coming to town, who's been one of the best running backs, pure rushing running backs in the league this year for the Buffalo Bills. So you've got to get that cleaned up. And that was very disappointing. I thought that was disappointing. And then obviously, again, give up a big kick return on the opening kickoff and then to have the block punt late. That was, you know, just devastating. And that block punt changes the math, right? It changed the math, got them to up 14. And without it, I think we're having a lot different discussions today, and the Browns are winners.
What did you make of not having Shador out there for the 2-point conversion?
It's hard to get upset with a decision when you watch the All-22 and you know that had the player executed the play properly in the way that it was practiced, it was easy. I mean, if he flips that ball to Gage Larvadan, like the play was designed to do, you could see that it was going to be a success. And I don't think anybody would have a problem with it. That being said, in the moment, and certainly now, you know, Shador is red hot, and I would have liked to see him be involved in that play, but that's something that the Browns have been setting up all year, right? Mm-hmm. Running out of that Wildcat, been successful. So this was going to be the wrinkle off of it that we hadn't seen at any point this year. And I think Quinshon just kind of got lost up in his timing, looking for, did the corner run with Gage Larvadan or not? And by the time he processed what he had seen and went to give him the ball, Larvadan was past him. And you could almost see that unfortunate kind of look of panic on his face there as he realized that this play was not going to have the success, certainly, that the Browns wanted. And as a result, they were going to lose the game. So, again, it's one of those things. This is an outcome. There's a huge outcome bias, and I completely get it. But if you watch the tape of the play, you know that had the play been executed the way that it was intended, it would have worked. Again, that being said, I understand people who want Shador out there because he was red hot and drew me down the field for a 60-yard touchdown drive and then an 80-yard touchdown drive to give you that opportunity.
All right, Nathan, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week after the Bears game and hopefully a Browns win.
All right, guys, thank you.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst on the Fan Hotline there.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Or maybe it's because we're still within the 24-hour, 36-hour window from the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really truly know what the bar is. I think the easy thing to say, I mean, if he plays the way he did the last four games, one, you're actually going to win potentially two of the next four games, which I think would be huge. But if there's some iteration of, or so if there's some aggregate of his first three games, I'd be really curious to see whether people think that clears the bar to have that conversation.
Oh, no, definitely. I think the people that today, though, are saying, oh, this takes you out of Mendoza and don't even bother with quarterbacks, I think that's too far.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think we need to see. I think we need to see more. And even if we see more in the next four games, it doesn't mean that the Browns won't turn around and be like, "Oh, we're the number two pick overall, and we got a chance for Mendoza, and we're going to leap up and just do that."
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is still on the table. Again, the job that Shador has, though, play like you did yesterday, and make it incredibly hard on them to go ahead and make that decision with Mendoza or Dante Moore or whoever else.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, what did I say I wanted? I wanted to be the most competitive. I think I said, was it 3-14 or 5-12? I can't remember which.
Look, initially?
Yes.
You said competitive. I think you said 3-win team.
Okay.
I think you're always on 3-win.
So the guy,
and then you 3-win to, then you moved to 4 right before the season started,
well,
right?
Well, that was a prediction.
Okay. I'm confused now.
Well, no, I was 3-win Wilson. And then I talked to Mike Pagel. And all of a sudden,
right.
I thought
you had to talk with Perny, and then it was a whole thing.
Also, Kelly Holcomb.
Yeah, he got involved. RG3 always gets involved in these convos.
I couldn't reach Tim Couch, but I could reach Jim Pine and Tim Couch's ex-wife, Heather Kozar.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I talked to Tim.
Might as well, basically.
Yeah. I mean, she you know, birthed his sons.
So you're in the ballpark is the point.
Yes. So competitiveness to me truly matters. It's tough to ask this team down multiple starting offensive linemen, down, I mean, not knowing what you're going to get from pass catchers on any week. I think the defense is really starting to hit a point. I'm a little concerned about whether the defense is starting to check out after some injuries. Yeah, Denzel obviously got banged up. Malik Collins out for the year. Like, there's a point of diminishing return with those injuries. So to be like, well, if you go out there and get 2 out of 4 wins, you can be, now, I don't know that's the right bar to set, but it is. Mm-hmm. Are you making plays? Are you, when you make mistakes, are you battling back? I think I mocked him, and he deserved to be mocked when I was like, stats or wins, what's more important? And Daryl was like, I think it's more about how he plays. Well, so like stats. But I do want to, like Daryl's point, which was,
he just didn't want to answer it and say stats.
Yeah, well, in fairness,
for some reason,
I think he is talking about the subtle nuances of playing the position. Are you putting your guys in a position to succeed? Are you checking out of things? Are you consistently doing the things that Browns?
I'm just happy Daryl got Gage Larvidan's name right.
Listen,
only took him to week 14.
I'm not going to start getting it wrong because he hasn't earned me getting it right after the.
Is that the recourse?
Punts.
Is that the recourse of that?
Oh, Gage Larvidan? I never heard of him before. I'm not a Haslam fan member. No, my point is though, like, this is a great 4-week stretch for Shador to prove that he belongs. But I think, like with everything else with Shador, unless it's as obvious as it was yesterday, there's going to be a heavily debated thing with a lot of people weighing in that maybe haven't watched every segment of it.
I think it's going to be incredibly hard to move the Browns off of Mendoza or Moore or whatever quarterback if they end up in a spot to be able to take one of them. But that's, again, the work is all right in front of there for Shador. Like, he can make this move. What I do think has become easier, though, Nick, is the idea that if they don't end up going quarterback in the very top of the first round, then I can't make a good case for them doing something like the Saints did last year with Tyler Shuck. Like, something like that doesn't make sense at this point. I would much rather see Shador be able to have next year and be able to see the runway that he can have and be able to kind of see what that looks like. And so, like, he's done a lot for himself with yesterday, done a ton for himself with yesterday, but he's got more work to do if he wants to completely dispel any part of Mendoza or Moore.
216-474-0092. What matters the most to Shador down the final four games here, the stretch run of the season? Are we talking wins? Is it stats? What do you need to see so that we're having a genuine conversation in January, February, March, April, about whether the Browns go quarterback in the draft or roll with Shador going forward. Let's go with Greg in Parma. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up? Hey, real quick, I just Stefanski, he's consistent at saying, that's on me, that's on me. Now, getting on Shador. Shador, and guys, just respect my opinion now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure, Stefanski going to say, he's my quarterback for the rest of the year. Shador is used to playing with no offensive line back in college, and that's what he's about to get in the pro. He's going to get killed. I would sit him down. I would fake it. You know, he got that stomach injury or whatever, that back. It came back. Sit it down, Shador. You don't got to prove nothing else. We already know what you can do. Get him some help. I wasn't playing. Let Greg go get in there and let's see what
he
got.
No, Greg, that's the worst. I was thinking about this in the car ride. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate you.
We hung up.
The worst possible thing to happen for Shador right now is to end up with like an injury or something where he can't continue to really supplement what this is.
Yeah.
Like he needs to keep this going. What yesterday was, this is the ride. You have to keep the ride going at all costs. Like an injury would be disastrous for him at this point, because it would, in many ways, it would just negate everything that we just saw, and it would set him back all the way back to the starting point. Like, no.
Can you imagine Shador doing all the work that Shador's done?
Oh, it would be disastrous.
Overcoming
my heart
the obstacles. And then Shador's like, oh, my back. I think Greg was suggesting Shador should, like, fake an injury.
Well, I think he's suggesting that Shador did enough right there that he's got this, like, long runway and he's going to be the quarterback of the future and all these other things. I'm telling you, that's not how they see this right now. And yeah. It's not how majority of fans see it either. Like, you still have to go out there. If anything, like I would hope Shador understands this more than anybody, that like the job is not done. That was a great game. The job is not anywhere close to done. You have to continue this momentum, and you have to make it impossible for them to even think about Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore or anything else. Because right now, they're in the driver's seat to take one of these young quarterbacks. They are.
So anytime somebody goes, respect my take before they give it.
I know, we're never going to like it.
You know it's probably not going to be a take.
They're out of pocket, and they know it. They know it beforehand that they're going
to
say something.
I'm about to say something ridiculous, but you have to respect it. That's called an upfront contract, and you bring no collateral to the table. you got to give me some reason. Like, are you putting up your house for this?
I do love the idea that they always say that, and then it's like, of course, just because you said it, we agreed to it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
we agreed to that
deal. I'm a man of my word. I can't go back on my word. Peter in Brunswick, welcome to the show.
Yes, what's going on, guys? I'm totally for. I mean, I think yesterday was kind of best case scenario for the Browns. Shador, obviously, I mean, looked great. I mean, I think each game he's gotten better. And we still lost, which is good for draft position, which I love. My thought process is on this. I would love to see Shador be competitive, get the Browns to be competitive. In a perfect world, Shador's playing like he did last week or this past week. You know, we're putting up good numbers. He's looking like he's getting better each week. And we still lose the games. I would love to be a top three pick. I'd love to be like, hey, I think we have the answer with Shador next year. And then I know there's going to be a quarterback needy team, Arizona, New Orleans even, the Jets that have all those first round picks where they're going to want to jump up there. And who's to say that we can't, you know, flip that top three pick for another, you know, two first rounders and then just kind of build around. I mean, you got to give him an O-line. You got to build some receivers. You got to bring talent around him. I mean, when the Browns were really good, 11 wins, we had guys around, you know, our quarterback. We had good receivers. We had a good, healthy O-line. And we had good, players just around the ball, and we were good. I think it was great. I'm not sold on just having him. I know these next 4 weeks are huge, but best case scenario, he plays the way he did. You can roll him out next year, and then you can start to build around that offense, because we've seen it each year. You draft a quarterback, you don't help any other positions on the offense. The quarterback's thrown to a freaking ball boy. That's what I got. Have a good one, guys.
Peter, we appreciate you. Now, what's going to be interesting is, if this is where I think the supporters are in a tough spot here. If you want Shador to play well enough that he's the guy going forward,
mm-hmm.
you don't want him playing so well that Stefanski's here if you believe you can't trust Stefanski with Shador's development.
That's the point I made in the 4 o'clock hour, was the idea that right now Stefanski hasn't shown me that he's any part of the causal reason for Shador having this success. If the next four games he balls out and looks awesome, they're going to start to be connected in some sort of way. And there's a fair or unfair, I think he's doing all this in spite of Stefanski, but that's going to be the, you can't possibly get rid of him because he's looking so good. But you know what, Nick? I'll roll the dice with that, okay? Yeah, I'll roll the dice. If that becomes the rhetoric, I'll roll the dice on that being it and the two of them being tied at the hip if it gets me good Shedeur Sanders play and a good quarterback moving forward.
You'd be surprised what we could possibly do.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.